I remember when I was in high school, I used to have a neighbor that I'd play with. My dad bought me a pair of boxing gloves, and I used to box with this fella, and he was a terrific guy, and I'd get a new punch, and I'd show him and knock him luku, and we had a terrific time. We spent a lot of time together. I liked this guy. Today, this person is a teacher in a church school, and at that time, he was a Christian. And I wasn't. And we had a good time together. And I knew he had something in his life that I didn't have. But I never did hear about it from his mouth to tell me how I could have the same. And it took many instances in my life before someone sat down and shared with me personally how I could become a Christian. And if we just ask how many here today had accepted Christ as a personal testimony from someone else, and how you were led to Christ, in most cases, is personal. Now, many of us want to do this. We'd like to do it, but we may not know how. And we just say, well, boy, I'd like to do this. And you get all enthused and you're going to do it, and blah. See? And so we're going to share some things on how. But just a little bit before this, I want to just take a few minutes and explain some facts on evangelism, what it is, and what we can expect. 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. This verse says, I share with someone else, Jesus Christ, anticipating that they will have fellowship with me. Have you ever witnessed to someone and anticipating fellowship with them after they've accepted Christ? This is what this verse says. When you witness to this person, you witness to him anticipating after they accept Christ as Savior, you're going to have fellowship. A missionary on her prayer card put, oh, when she went overseas, on her prayer card, she had her picture there, and right beside it, she said, anticipating your prayers. That gives you the responsibility, doesn't it? And as we anticipate, as we witness, a person can sense it. Anticipation, 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that we may have fellowship. We anticipate as we witness to someone that we're going to have fellowship together. I'd like to have you turn with me to Acts 8:35, if you would. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts 8. Here we have a picture of 8:35. Why don't we start with verse 26. Here was a person named Philip, and the Spirit spoke to him, or the Lord did, saying, arise and go toward the south, and toward Jerusalem, which is in a desert. And so, generally, when the Lord asks us to go to a desert, we might not like to go. But this person decided to go. And he arose and went, in verse 27. And he saw a man with authority here. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of the great authority under, hard to pronounce, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all the treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This person was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. He was going along in his chariot. Now you can picture this. And the Spirit said to Philip, go near now and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran hither to him. Now you can picture this chariot going along, and you can picture Philip running behind him now, and he's following his chariot. His chariot's rolling along, and Philip is following his chariot. His chariot's going along. This is his responsibility. And as we read, this person didn't understand what he was reading. And Philip ran, he said, and he heard him reading. He was this close to him. He was following, evidently close enough to his chariot, he could hear him reading and where he was reading. See, he heard him reading, and he said, you understand what you're reading? You know, this boy's reading Isaiah. He says, well, how can I understand except someone explain to me? You know, and he isn't writing, he's writing. This fellow isn't writing. See? And this is the truth. How can someone else understand except we explain to them? See? And he says, whoa, boy. See? And so they stopped and they had a little fellowship here. And here we see a terrific principle here. Philip listened to him. And he listened to him, and he listened to him talk and share. And in verse 35, a key point, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. But he had to go over here, and he ran after this chariot and followed along and got the picture and listened a while and then preached unto him Jesus. Well, we do the same thing without the chariots a little bit. Now, so first off, 1 John 1:3, we testify anticipating, and then we must do this, and this evangelism is introducing another person to Jesus Christ. The Greek for witness is, the meaning for this is sharing with another the truth at the expense of your own life. This is what a witness is. Sharing with another the truth at the expense of your own life. Many of us probably haven't come to this understanding. This is what it is. In Romans 9:3, Paul had this. He says, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren." Paul wished himself even separated from Christ. I believe I've come to this. In Romans 10:1, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." I challenge you today just to get one. That your heart's desire and prayer to God for this one would be that they might be saved. I think it's good if we learn to give ourselves away in this so that we realize that as we're witnessing, we just give ourselves away. If we don't, people can sense it. And we have an example of Jonah here. Jonah was to go, and he didn't go. But when he did go, what a blessing. And you can think of other people's lives today living that have given their lives, and the Lord blesses. Oh, one more point, I guess, we could cover. Doss Trotman shared with us, and has shared, and if you heard his message on Born to Reproduce yesterday, 3 points that keep a man from reproducing spiritually. 3 things. One is no union. There's no union and communion with God. There'll be no reproduction. Another is disease. With sin in our life, we won't be leading people to Christ. Another is immaturity. If we haven't taken time to study, to know the Word, to answer people's questions in love, we won't be having answers that can draw people to our wonderful Savior. Doss compared this to the same things physically. If there's no union or no children, there's disease, or if there's immaturity, same thing. Physically. I think, just speaking at you right now, eyeball to eyeball here, I think you understand a lot of this. I really believe this. But God puts on my heart, your need is how to communicate. To get this across to someone. And to share this with someone so they in turn can accept Christ as Savior. And what a joy this is. Just this last week, you probably had the opportunity to lead my brother and a couple in his family to the Lord. He'd been prayed for 15 years. 9 by me, 15 by others in my family. But thrilling. Almost too much. But how to do this? How to do this? So we're going now to give you some ways. First, a couple simple ones. All of you should be memorizing Scripture. And so you have a verse pack someplace. And so you can just with someone have them check you out on your verses. And as he does this, he is getting a testimony. This is a shrewd way, you know, to get in if you're a little bit not so bold. You notice as you read through Acts, the disciples didn't pray for an opportunity. They're all around. They prayed for boldness. The opportunities are there. You can't get away from the opportunity unless you go up in a hill and hide in a cave. The opportunities are there. We need boldness. So this is one way to help break that a little bit. If you aren't memorizing verses, why? Your witness isn't going to be too great anyway. Sometimes, because you've got to have answers. And so, and if we're convicted on this, we should be doing it. We better be doing it. Okay. So verses. A personal testimony. Personal testimony. Acts 26. Here. If you turn to Acts 26. With me, Here is the testimony of Agrippa, or Paul to Agrippa, excuse me. And let's just start with verse 2 here, and I'll read and you follow me. Page 203, Acts 26, starting with verse 2. We'll start with verse 1. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching the things whereof I am accused of the Jews." He says, "This is a blessing. I just thank you for the opportunity to share Jesus. Especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently." He kind of entered him in this, didn't he? He says, "I know where you are in all this." And then he kind of snuck him in here so he'd really get his attention in his heart. And he said, "My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, might hope to come. For the which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews." Now here, Paul tells him his life before, doesn't he? He says, "Here's how my life was before." Just this quick on how to become a Christian, and just this quick on what's happening since he became a Christian. And so we'll put down these three points now. In your personal testimony that you're going to work out today, you're going to get 1 minute on before you became a Christian. 1 minute on your life before you became a Christian. You're going to do this today. 1 minute on what happened or how you became a Christian. One minute on after you've become a Christian. Now, I've done this, and my wife has seen me in the bedroom looking into the mirror practicing this. And she said, "Marv, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm just kind of working on my testimony a little bit." I walk up to someone and strike up a conversation and get talking. I say, "The first time I ever gave a thought to God was when my sister came running into the house and said, 'Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me I could have died and gone to hell?' And my parents didn't know. They couldn't answer. And this was my first thought. This is my first thought of God. And after this, I went to church a little bit. My sisters loved me. And they spent a lot of time with me. And I went through college. And my purpose was to get an education. At the age of 20, I graduated from college. And at 21, I put another year in toward a master's degree. And then after this, Uncle Sam was on my back. And so he wanted to get me. I tried to join the National Guards and couldn't because they said I was dodging the draft. And I didn't ask them what they were doing, but I went on. And I joined the Navy. In the Navy, someone approached me and said, 'You'd like to go to church?' And I said, 'Not necessarily.' And he said, 'Well, we've got free chow.' And I said, 'Good, I'll go.' And I was the average broke man. And I went there, and the person explained to me how I was lost in sin. And how that if my life would be panoramed before him, that, and it was in 3D Technicolor with sound, that if everyone would see this, that I would have to hide. And I knew this, I was in sin. And then he showed me how that there's going to be a judgment day. And that's it. And, a testimony is pretty powerful. So, and he shared with me this, how I could, and now that Christ died for my sins, and that I could put my trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior and have eternal life. And I heard this, and they had people walk forward, but I didn't go forward. And I asked someone afterwards if he could explain to me from the Bible how I could become a Christian. And by God's grace, I picked someone that could. And they explained to me and how I could become a Christian. And I asked Jesus to come into my life. And he's changed my life now, and I have new goals. And he's answered for me. And I just wonder if anything like this has ever happened to you. and then wait. Now, this is a testimony to someone who hasn't had known Jesus Christ as Savior. See, to some of you, I can give a testimony on something else, too. You see? But this is a testimony to someone that doesn't know Jesus as Savior. We don't have to get doctrine. There's a lot of things out here. But basically, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So a minute before, a minute on how you became a Christian, and a minute on after. Is that clear? And we trust that as you do this, the rocks won't get the people you're witnessing to. Okay? Great, huh? At home, they're after yes. No, the minute after, you don't need to take a minute on after, but if God has put something on your heart for you to do and you're convicted that God is just share with Him what God's love has done. See, the Lord has changed my life. He's given me victory over sin and things that I hated before I love now and things I love before I hate now. You know, not necessarily so much of this, but the idea of it's a new life.
After you give your testimony, then take a minute to tell those kind of things?
No, a minute now on... Before my life, you see, in some instance, it drew me a little bit. People took time to take me to church and this sort of thing. People loved me. Then a minute on how I heard the gospel and accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then a minute or less on, after accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior, what happened? I used to operate this beer joint over here, you know, and I had to burn it. I didn't feel it would be right to sell it. You know, or something. You know, just something. You know, we've all done things that will get a person's attention, and they realize that, boy. But don't go get. You know, my dad is interested in what I'm doing a little bit, and he goes to great depths and detail to help me out, even though he hasn't accepted Christ as Savior yet. And he gave me a little sheet of paper. He said, "I think you might be able to use this." And on it, it said, "The three of the greatest documents in the United States are 300 words or less." You know what they are? Declaration of Independence, 300 words. Gettysburg Address, 266 words. Lord's Prayer, 56, not the Amplified. but in contrast to this, in the same little article, it said that the government had just made a resolution on the selling, I think it was cabbage, up there in the White House, and they are in D.C. at least, and they had made this on a selling of cabbage in the United States, and it took 25,000 words to get this point across. You know, well, if you've got something important, we can boil it down. You know, you wouldn't read this on cabbage, you know. And so this is the point on this getting it down to 3 minutes. See, a commander where I'm from in Lexington Park shared with me. He said it took him, he was teaching some people, just like we're right here now, only he had some chiefs doing it, and they were taking an hour and 15 minutes classes, teaching these Navy personnel things. And he said that only 10% of the people were passing their test afterwards. And so he said he spent a lot of time and boiled this down to classes of 15 minutes, 10 minutes, and 5 minutes. And it took him a week to take a message and get from an hour and 15 minutes to take this message down to 10, 15 minutes, 5 minutes, or 10 minutes. And he said after this, they gave us the same tests, and they'd give this to different blocks of people, not knowing what was going on. And he said that the people that got the same message in 10 minutes did the best, and 85% of these people now are passing the test. So this 3 minute on the testimony, maybe I better quit right now, but 3 minutes on the testimony, is that a cross now? See, and you're going to get, in your discussion group, if some people follow directions and were there, we're going to, as we get together, we're going to break off, or right there, you're going to get about 10 minutes to write out your own personal testimony. A minute before, a minute, and then you're going to get a chance to share it. Stand by! What a blessing. Look out. Okay? Isn't that good? Sure. The Lord will thrill your heart in this. Okay, I need 7 people. 1, 2, Gail! Here, Alan, you do. Up here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hey, good. Sure, come on. That's fine. Now you turn around and face these people a little bit. Okay? Now, we have here an illustration we're going to use of John 3:16. You come up to someone and you're talking to them, and you say, "Have you ever been to Sunday school?" "Yeah, I've been to Sunday school." Oh, no, I'm not a Sunday school. So you talk with them a little bit, and they say, have you ever, do you have any Sunday school lessons or anything? Yeah, oh, running out of my ears, you know. I say, well, how about, did you ever hear the verse John 3:16? Yeah. And you say, well, could you quote it, you think? Oh, yeah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son that he shall live and praise the everlasting life. It's this funny thing, but everyone in Lexington Park so far that I've asked this has said forgotten son. Everyone. And I've asked quite a few. Isn't that something? Sounds ridiculous, but it's happened. Okay? So they quote this, and you say, well, that's good. And you might help them out on a little bit, or you might have a testament and just show it to them. And say, would you mind if I'd ask you 7 questions on that verse? And I say, no, I wouldn't mind. I say, well, okay, why don't we just get started? And so, Gail, you're first. And I'm going to ask you, you may know this well, let's go through, and I'll just ask each one of you a question, and you give me the answer. This is the way, this is going to be a way. So you write down these questions, and you're going to get a chance in your discussion group to do that too today. Get these questions down, good. Okay? The first question is, according to this verse, who loved the world?
God.
Very good. You're right. According to this verse, God loved the world. Okay, we'll give you time to write that down. According to this verse, who loved the world? She got it right. Boy, this person, he thinks he's a, what? No, he's got the answers, hasn't he? Good. And this is great. See? Okay? John 3:16 is simple. We'll never get anything out here that'll stump him, will we? Huh? Okay. Now, the second is, according to this verse, God so loved the world, what did he do?
Gave his son.
Very good. God gave his son. Okay. God loved the world. Why don't we put some of these girls first and let them down. Like that away. Okay. That's fine. Now you just go right behind. That'll mix up a little bit. They're okay. Now, you review this a little bit. Well, according to this verse, then God loved the world and God gave his son. According to this verse now, to whom did he give him? The world. Well, now, according to this verse, to whom did he give him? To whosoever believeth. Very good. Now, the answer you'll get is the same answer that we had here. Very often, the person will say he gave him to the world. And you might have a little problem here. But God gave his son to whosoever would believe. Didn't he? It's an impossibility for me to give Dave my ticket. But you get the idea. Unless he would take it, I can't give it to him. You see? God can't give his son to someone that won't receive him. So that's very good. Okay? And so the first one now, who loved the world? What did he do? To whom did he give it? The next one, does this include... Now, to whom to give him? He gave to whosoever believeth. You understand that last answer? Okay. Does this include everyone? Does whosoever believe include everyone?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the person will probably say this. This is what you say this. Now, do you believe that everyone believes on Jesus Christ in the world?
No.
Okay, so whosoever believe doesn't include everyone, does it? This person's getting most out of John 3:16 than he's ever gotten out of John 3:16 by now. And this doesn't include everyone. Does it? Now the next one is a very, very potent question. I'll give you just a minute here. This is the one that Dr. Jim Downing here is actually the one I think that works this up. He's right back here, probably wishing I'd give it right. This next question, Jim says, when you ask this question, stand back, because the person's going to spit and fire and jump up and down and all this. So now remember the first question, who loved the world, what did he do, to whom did he give him, does this include everyone? Does this include you? Okay, he says yes. This is great. See, but the average person say, no, I've been baptized, went to church, my mother and father did this, and so you just stand back and listen to this. See? And this person now, as the Spirit is working in this, now we're giving it kind of humor a little bit, but we work, and the Spirit works in this. And this is God's Word coming to this person, and here a conviction sets in just like, blah. And this person, you know, what a joy to see conviction setting, because you know when there's a casting down, there's going to be a lifting up. So this person says all this, and you say, well, why don't we just forget we've asked that question for a moment. Because right now, he's admitted where he is. Please understand. If he says, well, all this, I think. So he knows it pretty well. So then you come up with another question. You say, according to this verse, you say that we're just going to forget we've asked that question for a little bit.
He's so glad. You aren't going to mention this anymore, but he can't forget it.
None of us. So you tell him you tried. And so you say, according to this verse now, what two things does a person receive when they accept Jesus Christ as Savior?
His Son and everlasting life.
Well, that's good, and it's true. But now, according to this verse, if you look to the last two things in this verse, what does a person receive? This is a very hard one. The first one is shall not perish. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the shall not perish could be referred to as forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. Shall not perish is forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. These are the two things that a person receives when they receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Means you get forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. And then the person now senses this, and he's, this is what he wants. So the last question is, would you like to receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life? Okay, yeah. Good. Praise the Lord. But if the person hasn't, he's going to be saying either yes or no or have some other questions. Fine, you may see. Really appreciate this. Okay, now, after you get this far now, the person isn't brought into the kingdom. He's interested, and there should be a sense of where he is and what he understands, and so you can sense whether or not he really knows what's going on. Most people today need to be brought to the Savior. They're a little bit under conviction already. They've had the gospel, or many of them have had the gospel preached to them somewhere or another. And it's just a clarification, a clean, honest presentation, so they know what it is, and then they can accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Many of you today, right here, the first time someone gave you an honest presentation that made sense, was clear, in love, you accepted Christ as your Savior. I've asked people that haven't, and they said, well, just no one ever told me. You know, just no one took time to tell me. So now after this person understands this, and he understands that he needs this, this is where most people break down. You say, well, you know, you can go see the pastor or something else. See, but now we ask after this, we're talking to the person, and say, well, if you wanted to talk with someone in Roanoke, how would you do it? The person says, well, I might write a letter, right? You might use a telephone, right? You might use a telegram, right? Okay? Granted. If you wanted to talk with God, what would you do? The person said, I'd pray. And this makes the difference between him and realizes he sees the difference between talking with people and talking with God. And so here's what must happen. And then it's good to go maybe use one more verse, John 1:12, and share with him that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now, when my brother accepted the Lord as Savior, it was a presentation similar to this, and he, my testimony, and the same idea, and I asked him, I said, would you like to put your trust in Jesus Christ? I said, first, have you ever done it? And conviction set in, and he was just almost shaken. He said, no. I said, would you like to do it? He said, yeah. And there was in this house, right in this room, his 9 boys and a girl. His wife, my dad and mother, my 3 sisters, and another friend that I had there with me. All these people. And just the boldness of getting in here and doing the job. He said, all right, let's go. Let's go pray. And we left there, went into a bedroom to pray. And as we knelt down to pray, I shared with him what he should pray, that lest you're turning your life over to Jesus Christ, asking Christ to be your Savior. There was conviction there. And as we went to pray, he tried to pray and couldn't. And God gave me Romans 16:20, which says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And as he was over here, I was praying here. And just after that, I just prayed this verse, claimed his promise. And he prayed. I wanted to pray for him, but I couldn't. He needed to make this decision, and God gave him the grace to do it. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and it just was a burden off of him, you see. And this was beforehand, 15 years of prayer, 9 years. There's a lot of prayer into this. And then he was burdened for his family right after this, after a little bit of talking and assurance. He was burdened for his family, and he said, "What about my family? I need help." You know? Well, amen. 9 boys and a girl, I guess. We need help, all right. And so we prayed right there. And in this other room, his oldest son got under conviction. And one of my sisters saw this and took him out on a porch and led him to Christ. And we came out of this room. And he went out of here and he got his wife and he took her into another bedroom. And I looked at his next oldest son and he was under conviction. We went back into the same room. And he accepted the Lord. And you talk about this rock going, it started to rain. Right then. The Lord just couldn't contain this in the heavens. He had to come down a little bit and just shower. It was a blessing. See. But God honored this. And just a little bit on follow-up here. My brother started to read the Gospel of John each morning with his family. I said, we don't care if the kids are climbing on the walls. We're going to read the Word every morning together. And in John 1, he got down to about verse 22, and it mentions coming out of the wilderness. There's a voice of one in the wilderness. And he said that this is as far as he could get, and he had to let his wife finish in the first half of that chapter because he said, I just couldn't finish it. I just came out of the wilderness. Isn't that terrific? Praise the Lord. Okay, this is the John 3:16 now, illustration. You're going to get a chance now in your discussion group to share this with someone. So you should have these questions down now, and you'll be able to look at the questions as you do this and go over this. And a real good way to use this now when you get home is to say, I've just been to a conference, and they've taught me a thing or two, and I'd just like to share with you one of the things and just see if I'm learning anything or not. And so you just go over this John 3:16 with them and say, and it's a terrific witness. See. Okay, this is practical. It's been proven. Okay, now we've had a couple illustrations. Another one I'd like to share with you is the bridge illustration. This is an illustration used sometimes with those that might be a little bit more intellectual. Those that you may have witnessed other ways with, and they have problems and they want things clear. And they want to see more of the gospel. And this is good. I think any honest man that's presenting something should get at least 15 or 20 different ways of presenting something, you know? We should have many ways of presenting the gospel, you know? Another way I just haven't think of right now, and you're talking with someone and you start practicing your mind thinking and relating things to the gospel, you see? You see water, boy, the water of life. See, and this helps you meditate consistently in the Word, by the way, too. And then as you talk, and you're talking with someone, a way can enter in where you can get the gospel in. Okay, this bridge illustration. I'd just like to share a couple ways that I've used it, and then we'll give it to you. I use it I sit down in a cafe, maybe, or I'm talking, and I might say there's someone here sitting alone in the booth. We'll join them, you know. And sit down and you talk a little while and just take out a piece of napkin and you start to show them how they can become a Christian after you talk with them. And I've done this and used this on a napkin, and everyone that I've done this with has asked for the napkin. They want to take this with them. And one person I was witnessing, just an example, this fellow I was witnessing, I was sharing this bridge illustration. He said, "Boy, this is great." And we're about halfway through it. He was really eating this up, sailor. And here came another sailor. He says, "We got to go to this dance." He says, "Just a minute." He says, "I got to finish this." And he says, "Well, your girl's over here waiting on you." And he says, "It's all right." And he says, "Well, we're going." And he says, "Can you wait?" He says, and he asked me, he says, "How much more time?" And I said, "Well, let's have 5 minutes. 5 minutes more and you can go." And he says, "All right, just wait for me 5 minutes." And they said, "We won't wait." And he says, "All right, go ahead. Off, get away." And so they went. See, this had grasped him, you see. And so we shared with him the bridge illustration. And he didn't accept Christ as Savior, see. And as he was leaving, he called one of his other buddies over and he says, "Come over here." He says, "You ought to get this." So one of his buddies came over, and I went on to another one then, and this fellow went to this dance. Well, first of all, I did this. I did take him. Isn't that great? Took him to dance. So I took him here, and And let him off. This was at Little Flower. The Catholics like to dance more than we do, I guess. And out at Little Flower School, and he went to dance. And then I came back, and this other fellow he brought over witnessed him and shared this. Later on that same night, I saw this fellow uptown. And before he left, he said I was going to share this with his girl. And so I asked him, I said, how'd it go? And he'd taken this bridge illustration, not a Christian himself, and was out here preaching this to his girl on the dance floor, you know, or someplace out there. And I said, how'd it go? He said, she didn't understand. That puts us to shame in a way, you know, when we get to the heathen, sharing the gospel with the heathen, and some of us who are Christians aren't even doing it sometimes. Wow. So, another illustration, I was working with some young people in Colorado Springs, and we went out, we rattled the doors of houses, and we just invited them to church. But they weren't satisfied with this. They said, well, we invited people to church, but we want to share with them the gospel, you know, because they'd been memorizing and studying. And so we talked to the pastor about it, and he thought it might be best if we went to a different community. And so we and we went to a different place to try this out. And we had a fantastic time. Now, they knew what they were doing. They knew how to do this. And I took I took the littlest one, one of Jim Downing's little boys, and another one, and we went to this one, and we knocked at this door. This lady came with a cigarette hanging out, and she was like this, you know. And I said, how would you like to have us just to have a few minutes of your time to share with you what we believe is the most important thing? And she said, well, no, Rob, not really, you know. Well, this time your foot is in the door, you understand that? And you're getting ready to go in, and you say, well, what we'll do, we'll just take about 3 minutes of your time, and if you want us to leave, we will, honestly. We really will. And by that time, we're kind of moving in. See? And Jim Downing's boys, I don't know where they learned this, but they were right with me, you know? They were right in there, see? And suddenly, they had learned to give their testimony. And so I said, all right, here we go, see? And now came a testimony this later. You know, little fellow about yay high, just sharing what Jesus Christ and quick. Oh, that's good. Quick. Just sharing a testimony, real good. I bet that'll go good on the thing. When you share this testimony, and then I said, how about, would you like to hear more? She said, yeah. And so I used a bridge illustration. And the bridge illustration, as I'll show you later, has eternal death on this side, eternal life on this side. Eternal death, eternal life, and a bridge here, and the person goes from eternal death to eternal life. Well, in this particular person's house, on this one end, she had a TV set, and she had a window here in the middle. See? And so on this side over here, we put eternal death. See? And we presented her eternal death on this side, and then we presented her on this side eternal life, and sin in the middle, and the cross covering sin, and how she could accept Jesus Christ and come across. Now, she didn't. But today, as she vacuums that room, she looks at the wall, doesn't she? And she sees eternal death and eternal life in the cross. And that's kind of, you know, she'll have to move her TV set or sell her house. Do something. Otherwise, she's going to become a Christian. See? And God will give you just little ways like this as you do this, just to cause these things to be brought to remembrance. Okay, so we're going to do this now, and you'll need to copy this down. I'm not sure that everybody can see this. You start with this verse and then you say more than one way to do this. I start with John 5:24 generally. I say, would you just like to listen to a verse with me? And say, yeah. And so we use John 5:24. Now, there are variations of this, and you can make some, and probably will never be given twice the same, but the principles will be here. And we look at this, and this says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. Would you like just to, with me, just hear some of God's word? And he says, yes, sure. So why don't we do that? Why don't we just turn to a verse? And the first verse we turn to is Romans 3:23. This person, we look at this and it says, you let the person read it out of the scriptures and it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is underneath the verse, all sinners. Everybody's a sinner. That includes you and me. Can you go to verse 2, Romans 6:23? Some of you have heard these verses, probably. And this says, the wages of sin is death. And you share with the person that as he sins, he earns a wage. You might underline the word wage in your Bible. So you get the point across to the person that he earns this. So he's already inherited it, but we can share with him also that he's earned it. And the wages, if the Navy fellows, I say, you go and you get paid two times a month. And I said, you feel you deserve this, and you get it, whether you deserve it or not. And you've earned it. And
sometimes that doesn't thrill their hearts, because they know there are some of them convicted of what they do.
And but they've earned this. And so this is a wage. And the wage is death. And then 3, Hebrews 9:27. There's going to be a judgment. But the fact is, there's going to be a judgment day. Then I draw a little line like this on the napkin, whatever I'm using, like this. And I put up here, eternal death. See, this is a black situation. All are sinners. And in sinning, we earn death, and there's going to be a judgment day. And this is powerful. It's the Word of God, and by His Spirit, He convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's what this is saying. Okay? I say that we don't only want to stop here. I say we want to look back at John 5:24 again and see God has done. Or before that, scratch that one. We'll go to Romans 5:8. You can do this more than one way, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And here you use Romans 5:8. And here is sin. And you bring in here. But sin separates. You bring in here, sin separates from, you show him eternal life. You show him here that you have eternal death. And sin is separated so that you have a separation from eternal life. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And took away sin on the cross. And this person looks at this, and you can vary this a million ways. In fact, as I'm varying it 20 right now, that God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for sin, and He paid for it. This is a sober thing. When you're sharing with someone, it should be dear to your heart what Jesus has done. I think this is key too. And so Jesus Christ died for sin. And we can go back to Romans or John 5:24 and say, let's just look and see what John 5:24 says again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And we just label these down here. Hath everlasting life is the first one. Shall not come into condemnation. You put no condemnation here. But is passed from death unto life. From death to life. Now you can get this much down in 70 different ways. The point is to get this down so this person can see this clear. He can see this over here, body conviction. He can see here that there's a cross, there's a difference, and you put a bridge across here. And this bridge, some use John 14:6 here. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes into the Father but by me. Use this as Lord. I don't use all these verses all the time, but this gets the point across that He can come this way. Now, let me start again now, just a minute, and go through this in a little bit of the order. You show them John 5:24. Let's hear. So you start to hear. So you hear these verses, and you show how this is sin, and it's separated from eternal life, eternal death, and eternal life. Sin separates, but God commends His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see this? And then, back to John 5:24. This is what he gives us. Now, if the person, some of the people you witness to like to share what they know, so I say, you had any issues? He says, yes. I say, you know the three tenses? And he thinks a little bit. He says, yes. And so I says, just pick them out of John 5:24, depending on how much time you have, and how I know him, and what the situation is. But he can pick out, hath everlasting life is present tense. Shall not come into condemnation is future. past, from death to life. It takes care of the past.
I said, would you like to have your past, present, and future taken care of?
Jesus can do it.
You're able. And you can just use the verse John 5:24 sometimes as a witness, just using that point. You don't have to go into all this detail.
So this comes in. And then you ask him if he'd like to have this. And depending on the situation and whether you see conviction, if there's no conviction, he say, would you do this for me? Would you put your finger on here on where you are? Put your finger on where you are. And I've only heard one person out of many that have used this. One person has put himself in the wrong place. He says, I'm right here. And boy, as this happens, conviction sets in. And this person is saying where he is. And he's doing, you're not. This is Keith, dude. You're not judging him. He's judging himself, isn't he? Give him a chance. You might write that down. Give him a chance to stay where he is. And again, here you're to the point now of him accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. And as you do this, the person will be... I'm back again. The person will be under conviction, or should be, and so you share with him again. You might use Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him. And sup with him and he with me. Now, this is another presentation. I think it might be good to share a couple other variables on this. Some people use religious. They say bridge illustration. They make a bridge illustration out of it, and they draw a bridge. Yes, this is water goes through you. And they say Jesus Christ had these three qualities. This is good. He had no sin. This is 1 Peter 1:22. No sin. Jesus had no sin. And he, this means he was perfect. He was deity. No other cult or anything else had this quality. Only Jesus. It's a good point. He claimed to have died for sin.
1 Peter 2:22.
No sin. You, as you share this with someone, read them with them. Very good. Appreciate that. And then died for sin is 1 Corinthians 15:3. That's 1 Corinthians 15. So he died for sin. All that. And then he arose from the dead. That's 1 Corinthians 15:4. So now, Jesus Christ has these three qualities. He died for sin, he had no sin, he died for sin, and he rose from the dead. No other religion has this. This is unique. If you get someone that's educational a little bit, giving you a hard time, just bring out these three points. This is powerful. This is a gospel. In the Orient, this is what is used strongly, because those people haven't been familiar with this as we have. You follow that? Okay? That's good. Back to this element on the cross. You run into people that have done all kinds of things, and they say, well, how about my church attendance? How about my good works? How about my giving? How about I saved a fellow from drowning? Mickey Mouse. And they've done all these things, but they, and you can just put them on here for them, just label them. Good works and this sort of thing. These are bridges, but then they fall short. They just fall short of an inch. They actually fall short, so probably they don't even come out here, really. But you just show it this way so they can see it. You see? In this way, you're sharing with him that only the cross. Now you don't use all these. See, as you're working with someone, you use sense and you ask God, and this comes by experience, to help you in this.
And then you listen to them, and then you, by the word, you answer. Be careful, so that you stick to the point. Is there a question on that? Yeah.
What do you do with an individual who doesn't believe in God?
That's very good. I did this on a ship I was on. This person didn't believe in God, and so we spent some time together, and he reviewed normal verses. And he said, boy, this helps your memory, doesn't it? And I said, yeah, it helps your memory. And he said, well, I'd like to get my memory whipped up into shape. And I said, good, let's start memorizing. And so for 6 weeks, he memorized six a week. He got six a week for 6 weeks. And he sat there day after day quoting these verses to me. His name was Leo Cardoza. You may hear about him someday, I don't know. But to my knowledge, he never accepted Christ as Savior. But I think he will. I pray for him yet. That's pretty powerful when you get going like this. Now, another person in my home, I don't know, he didn't believe in much of anything, but he came for a long time, and he memorized. And people gave up on him because he had a hard time. He'd get assurance of, where is that card? And he'd get assurance of salvation because he didn't have any spiritual understanding at all. And this was cranking him out, and people would almost cry from the way he worked on this. But he worked on it religiously. And he just kept it up. He got fired from his mess hall duty because he carried his cards around like this while he was serving the chiefs. You know, he carried his card in his hand and he just was going to get these verses. And he had them put in little, he had them laminated in plastic, you know. He thought this would be a good deal. He wouldn't wear out quite so quick. And that made a big fat pack on just a few, but this is the way he went. And it was great. See? But after three months, I'd say, or four, he came up to me and said, boy, he said, I want to become a Christian. I said, good. I said, you've got the verses and you know how. Let's pray. So he prayed and he said, Lord, I want to be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's a good prayer. And months before this, I just had a laugh at what he'd say. It was hysterical. See? But a key point is, we're born again by the word of God. And these are just ways of sharing the Word of God. Okay? Good. And you have many things that will take you off the track. Many of you might... what time do you have? 9:45 discussion group, isn't it? Okay. Would you like to just have me share with you some problems you run into and a little bit of what you do with them? That'd be good. I think it'd be kind of good, just like we had here. In working with a Catholic, they sense whether or not you love them, whether or not you're trying to square them away. They sense whether or not you have a compassion, whether or not you're really concerned, or whether or not you're just after another soul for your hip. You know, I've got another scalp. You know, don't get it. And they sense this, and that God must give you compassion. One Catholic, the Lord gave me the joy of working with and witnessing to for a year before I accepted Christ as Savior. I tried to get other people to pray for him, and one person said, "I just don't see how God can save him." And this person, by the way, was moving out spiritually too, but he just seen so much rottenness in this guy's life, he didn't see how God could possibly work. But God works possibly. And so we took him with me a little bit and shared him the word. Preached to him. This fellow had been in parochial school, altar boy. He was indoctrinated. But after a year, he accepted Christ as Savior. But in this year, he bought a Bible. He shares it now, a great big one. He says, cool. And he read in his Bible. And he came up with a million ridiculous things. See? But he did accept Jesus Christ as Savior after time and patience and love. He's kind of a dynamic today. He loves Jesus and he's kind of beating the bushes a little bit. So this was Catholics. Love them. Share with them the gospel. I think a key point in sharing with Catholics is the fact that we know, 1 John 5:13, I know. These things have I written on you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. They don't know. They're kind of doing penance and hoping that they'll get enough of it paid for by different things that they'll make it. See? And we can talk about a million things, and they can talk about menial and different types of sins and all that sort of thing, but we can just come back to this. Just hammer that, ride this one home. You know? We know. You know?
The next time you talk with them, just talk, you know. With Mormons and this type of thing, a Mormon missionary shared with me after he got saved over in Germany that the thing that won his heart was someone stuck with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 with him. He shared with him Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then he shared with him, the next time he met with him, he shared with him Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And they'd get together again, and they'd start to open the Word, and he'd share with him Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And do you know what happens? Is a person pretty soon gets this memorized. You go over it with him enough, and his subconscious works on it while he's asleep, and he tries to hack it, and he can't. The subconscious can't hack it, so he gives it to his conscious, and he wakes up.
Yeah. I've
not being able to sleep. While I try to answer this, I want to bring out a point. If you turn to the second epistle of John with me, and it's a very good point. We want to get straight right quick. 2 John 10, talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. It is sin, S-I-N, to admit these into your home. This is what the Bible says. Unless you think they're bringing the doctrine, I don't. You can pray about that in yourself. But I'm not convinced they do. In fact, I'm convinced that they're heretics. But this is sin. It says, admit them not in your house. When your neighbor sees these come into your house and then go out, how does he know? Huh? Satan can use that. And it's a rebuke to them. A fellow where I live got to working with people, and he led quite a few to Christ, and one of these Mormons came in and got a cell group going like they do, and he took these that he led to Christ. The tentacles went out and grabbed these. And one of the fellows phoned up and he said, I'd like to have you come over to this meeting. He said, here we're having a Bible study and these people, they're giving us all this doctrine. He said, I'd like to have you come. And so this fellow came. And this fellow can rightly divide the word of truth. And he tried to match with this person, with these were two of them. And he tried to match scripture for scripture with him. And as he did this, he found himself getting entangled and entangled and entangled, and the babes in Christ were getting confused, and he got worse and worse and worse all the time. And he didn't know what to do. Because every time he'd bring up something, these people would come back with something that was ridiculous, just a thwarting of the scriptures. And he just entangled, and Satan was using this. So finally, this person just got up. And this person is quite a dynamic. And he gave his testimony of how Jesus Christ had saved him from sin. And in 3 minutes, these people packed their bags and left. Revelations 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. You have a testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for you. They don't. Because he has saved you from sin, they're still working on it. This is powerful. God says this in Revelations 12:11, and this is what we're to do. When we think we can do it some other way, we're kidding ourselves. And this is spiritual warfare. This is great. You know, we want to be in it. But we want to know how to wield the sword. Okay, other... Yes?
How do you work with Jews?
How do you work with Jews? Very good. A neighbor of mine was talking. He was a Catholic neighbor, and I was over at his home, and he had a Jew visitor. And my Catholic neighbor went uptown to take his wife bowling. And so this Jew was there with me. And so he said, what are you doing here in town? And this fellow had been in the real estate business here in town for maybe 15 years. And I said, well, I just came here to work with servicemen and tell him about Jesus. And he said, will you tell me something about it? So I got a witness to him. He was hungry, see. And about the time we really got through the gospel, and boy, it was getting going good, here came my neighbor back, you know. And here I am witnessing this guy, and this is my neighbor's home. And he's coming back in. So I thought, well, I'll just... purpose to hit this Jew again some other time and kind of soften it. And so I started to change the subject, and this Jew wouldn't stand for this. He said, look here. He said, I want to know this. He says, I'm interested in this. And he said, we're both looking, aren't we? He looked at this guy. He said, we're both searching. And this guy, you know, he just... But this is one telling another where he is, you know. And they know. And so this person sat down and decided he was. And so we went over the gospel with him some more. And this Jew was hungry. And so then we he wanted to come to a Bible study. See? And so then we invite him over to my home, but not right in the middle of a Bible study, and shared with him. I shared with him a tape on Nate Scharf on a Jew that got saved. And this Jew married a Methodist first and then got saved. And it just so happens that this Jew was going with a Methodist and married a Methodist. And he might get saved. He hasn't yet, but I think he will. You know? And I shared with him. I said, boy, you're following the plan of that other one right down, aren't you? You know? And he said, you know, but I don't... He said, he can't stand to have his parents bury him, you know, and go in sackcloth and ashes and this type of thing. He it's a rough one, you see, for him. But he will. See, he says, I listen to Billy Graham as I drive down the road. And he says, I'll go to 40 to 50 miles and not even realize it. He says, I just get captivated by it. Isn't that powerful? And so as you witness to a Jew, know that they're hungry. And you share the gospel plain with them, just plain. Learn something from Billy Graham. Billy Graham starts his message. He says, tonight, he says, you're going to have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Tonight will be the time when some of you make your moment of decision. He hadn't started his message yet, you know. But he's telling them, tonight. And this person says, and he starts to think. See, well, let's do this with the ones we witnessed to. Let's share with them what's going to happen and let them know that there's going to be a decision here and they're going to have an opportunity. We're going to give them an intelligent way to make the decision. See? And then we don't, and everyone we witness to is prayer. Prayer. And ask God to humble our hearts and to give us discernment and love. Okay? Others? You might have a problem on someone saying, well, how about the heathen? You ever had that one? Yes.
Do you have back to the other question about the church people think we are divisions saved?
Yeah. This person that's serious, see, get this type of person into a Bible study with you. See, if he's serious and he says this, well, I say, all right, how about this just getting together in a Bible study? Get in a simple Bible study, and he sits at home and he studies this. And this starts to rack some of his thoughts. You know? And as he does this Bible study, he comes to some understanding even on his own. See? And in love, and then you can come back and share. And let's be, my first Bible study I did, I still have it, and it shows that I thought I could get somewhere a little bit by works. And I share them. I said, well, look at this one. Here. I did the same thing. See? But God showed me. You see? And to get him into a Bible study, in this case, very good, I think, yes. Well, you can write a letter, see, and put a Bible study in it, see.
But I didn't want to offend her, so I didn't
think of it. Yeah. There's a balance here where offending and where it hasn't comes. I don't offend, I guess. But you don't want to, that's right. And so you can write her and let her know. You can send her a tract. Let me read one that I think it's good to send. I spoke to you today about your soul. Whether you are inwardly pleased or displeased, I cannot know, nor is it the thing at which is most important to me. I esteem you. I am interested in your welfare. I am your friend. That is why I spoke. Imagine that you have been born blind and that you had no friend in the world except me. Suppose you were strolling on a quiet country road, happy and contented, but that without knowing it, you were approaching the edge of a cliff above a deserted stone quarry. If I saw this, I would run to warn you of your danger. If I did not, I would not be your friend. Again, I call you my friend. You're my friend, and I tell you that there is danger. There is danger of your soul's perishing. There is danger of your being lost forever. I can appreciate your unconcern about your soul's being in danger, for I too was undisturbed for years about my own soul. But I was blind to inescapable facts, blind to the fact that God hates sin and must judge it, blind to the fact that hell is a place where lost souls suffer there forever, blind to the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My eyes were opened after someone spoke to me as I have spoken to you. I have seen my danger. I have been saved from it by receiving him who once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Perhaps you say this is fine. I am glad you're happy. But just keep it to yourself. I do not want you to talk to me about these things again. Or if you insist on talking with everyone about such matters, just cross me off your list. I'd rather not see you again. But I shall see you again. This is a solemn fact that keeps pressing on my heart. That is why I've been constrained to write these words to you. I shall see you again. The one who was wounded for your transgressions, the one who was bruised for your iniquities, the one who knew no sin, yet bore your sin upon the world, or bore the sin of the world upon the cross of Calvary, is coming again. He is coming for his own. He is coming to fulfill the promise, and there never has failed one word of any promise he has made. In my Father's house are many mansions. But were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. What a day of joy that will be for all who are ready for his coming. He wants you to know that joy on that day. Though I may never see you again on the earth, I long to meet you there when he comes to take his own to that land where there is no pain, sorrow, death, or tears, or parting. Yet if I miss you there, I will nevertheless see you again, for the resurrection of life is to be followed by the resurrection of damnation. Upon the great white throne, the Lord Jesus Christ will sit to judge all the souls of all ages. Somewhere in that multitude of the redeemed souls standing around his throne, I will be. Before that throne, if you have never taken him as your Savior, you will bow. I shall see you there alone, hopeless, and condemned. I do not want to meet you there. Even though I could say, I warned you, I do not want to see you to be one of those of whom it is written, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:15. For I esteem you, I am interested in your welfare, I am your friend. That is why I spoke to you about your soul today. And that is why in love I would tell you once more that God is in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as if God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I may never see you again, and may never have the opportunity to speak to you about your soul. Yet in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, I shall see you again. You will yet stand before him, either as one who has received him, or one who has rejected him. Which will it be? And if you write a letter, you don't have to duplicate this exactly. But if you write a letter to him, assuring him in this sense, using the word of God, your love and compassion. Maybe they can't turn it down, huh? Good. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this. Lord, as we go home and share with others what we received out of our Navigator Conference, let's be humble and meek, and Lord, let's share Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of hearing today ways that we can intelligently share with someone else what you've done for us. We pray that we might be diligent to labor and to learn and to understand these. We pray for those that have been mentioned. God, it thrills my heart. Some are working and here and are witnessing and have problems. And God, we know that you can solve them. And that by your Spirit, we pray especially for these Mormons that were mentioned, that by your Spirit, you convict them that, Lord, it is by grace that we're saved. And the others that we're witnessing to, God, pray for my dad. I ask that you give someone there that is not ashamed of your gospel and would have boldness and speak in love to my dad. I thank you for this time, Lord. We pray that you'd give us a compassion. As we go to these discussion groups, may we do with a heart of love and diligence and put our heart into this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.